Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, February 5th, 2019. Coming up this hour,
President Trump and Jerome Powell meet to discuss the economic outlook.
The White House taps David Malpass to lead the World Bank.
Shares of Alphabet slump as profit margins slide.
Stocks in Europe advance on strong earnings from BP.
And chip makers slump following warnings on growth.
President Trump's inaugural committee has been subpoenaed. Plus, the president is expected to call for unity in tonight's State of the Union speech. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Tough loss for the Rangers. They blew a late lead and lost in overtime at the Garden to the LA Kings. The NBA leading Milwaukee Bucks beat the Nets in Brooklyn.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
Stocks in Europe are advancing while U.S. futures inch higher this morning. 5:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 2.5 points this morning. Dow futures up 49. NASDAQ futures up 8. The DAX in Germany is up 0.9%. CAC in Paris up 0.8%. And the FTSE 100 up 1.1%. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd. Yield 2.72%. Yield on the 2-year 2.53%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.9% or 48 cents to $55.04 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.3% or $3.70 to $13.1570 an ounce. The euro $1.1421 and the yen 109.98. This data check brought to you by SEI. Asset managers can exceed new thresholds for data management, reporting, and responsiveness. Transform your business with SEI's global operating platform at SEIC.com/IMS. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with a long-awaited meeting between President Trump and Jerome Powell. The president and the Fed chairman had dinner last night at the White House. Bloomberg's Christine Burke has details.
The Fed issued a statement about their discussion, said the conversation centered around economic developments and the outlook for the economy, but stopped short of diving into specific expectations on monetary policy. What Powell really stressed in his conversation with Trump was that the path of policy going forward really depends entirely on incoming information and what that means for the outlook.
The Fed says Powell's comments to the president were consistent with his remarks at last week's press conference. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin and Fed Vice Chair Richard Clarida were also at the dinner.
Meanwhile, Bloomberg News has learned President Trump plans to nominate senior Treasury official David Malpass to lead the World Bank. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the story. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Karen. Sources say the announcement will be made this week after President Trump delivers the State of the Union address. Some countries may see the choice as another attack on global order. That's because Malpass has portrayed the World Bank as too big, too inefficient, and too reluctant to wean developing countries. The 62-year-old Malpass joined President Trump's campaign early as an economic advisor. He's echoed the president's doubts about international cooperation, declaring that multilateralism has gone substantially too far. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
John, thanks. Turning to earnings now, BP is reporting profit that topped estimates despite a slump in crude prices. Bloomberg's Anne-Marie Hordern has more from London.
Very strong numbers, more than $800 million above what was expected. Luckily for BP, because the expectations were high, there's been trend for very strong numbers from the big oil companies this season. These are strong numbers demonstrating the company has really got on top of costs and can make these double-digit returns even at today's subdued oil prices.
The results have shares of BP up 4% in London.
Shares of chipmaker AMS are down 12% in Zurich as the Apple supplier warns about future growth. Bloomberg's Sam Unstead reports.
Their outlook did miss, but they also scrapped their dividend. They are quite a volatile stock. They make sensors that go into iPhones. They're also a major Apple supplier. But it's the scrapping of the dividend, I think, that's really hit them hard today.
Fellow chipmaker Infineon Technologies also issued a warning. The German company sees revenue growth at the lower end of its forecast.
All right, back here in the U.S., shares of Alphabet are down about 3% in early trading. The company reported revenue that beat estimates, but also thinner profit margins. Jachendra Worrall covers Alphabet for Bloomberg Intelligence.
66% growth in paid clicks shows the demand was very strong for the advertising business. But if you look at the expenses side, you know, they're spending a lot. Basically, saw a big jump in the losses that they reported.
Those losses were due to heavy spending on Alphabet's cloud and YouTube businesses as capital expenditure jumped 80% in the fourth quarter. Crawford Del Pret is chief operating officer at IDC Research.
If you believe that this company is really going to develop over-the-top services, they're going to have to pay more for them. And I think Google really is trying to be the video disruptor here, and that's what you're seeing in the numbers, which is a cramping of the operating margins.
Alphabet's operating margin came in at 21% in the fourth quarter. That's down from 24%.
Up next on the earnings front, Walt Disney leads more than two dozen companies reporting today. Here with a preview, Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Disney's results may have been pressured by its streaming investments and rising cable expenses for college football. Bloomberg Intelligence says the main focus for investors throughout the fiscal year will be the launch of Disney Plus, a direct-to-consumer streaming product, and the requirement that the company's 22 regional sports networks be sold in the wake of the Fox acquisition. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Jeff. On the economic front, the Institute for Supply Management issues its monthly report on service industries at 10 a.m. Wall Street time. Economists see the gauge dropping to 57.1 in January. Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice reports.
December's ISM non-manufacturing index dropped to a five-month low as measures of business and employment declined. Even so, Bloomberg Economics says the service sector remains solid. The three-month and six-month averages for new orders have been on the rise, and the ADP payroll report points to strength in service hiring. Also on today's calendar, research firm Market updates its service industry PMI. Vinny Dale, Giudice, Bloomberg, Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thank you. And in Europe, a slump in Italy's services industry is weighing on the euro area economy. A services PMI shows Italian business activity shrank in January, leading to job cuts in some sectors. Services in France also declined, with a January PMI indicating the worst contraction in almost 5 years. Futures this morning, meanwhile, are moving higher, with S&P futures up 3.5 points, Dow futures up 54, and NASDAQ futures up 11, 10-year Treasury down 2/32, the yield 2.73%. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It is 5:07 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr to find out more of what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Federal prosecutors in New York have issued a subpoena seeking documents from President Trump's inaugural committee. A spokeswoman says the committee intends to cooperate with the inquiry. She said the committee received the subpoena late last night and was still reviewing it. It was not immediately clear which documents prosecutors have requested. President Trump will give his State of the Union address tonight. Senior Trump advisor Kellyanne Conway says the president is going to call for an end to the politics of resistance and retribution. Bloomberg's Amy Morris reports.
The president likely faces a tough crowd after Democrats took back the House during the midterms. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi will be right over his shoulder. Expect him to take a victory lap over economic successes. He reportedly wants to include a firm anti-abortion message in his speech, and the president is expected to announce a new strategy to end HIV in the U.S. The big question is whether President Trump will use this speech to declare a national emergency to justify building a border wall. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Bloomberg will carry tonight's speech starting at 8:30 p.m. President Donald Trump is nominating former oil lobbyist David Bernhardt to be Interior Secretary. Embattled Virginia Governor Ralph Northam is asking his cabinet for more time to decide his next move as he faces widespread calls to resign. Northam has been under fire since last week when a photo emerged from his medical school yearbook page. The photo shows one person in blackface and the other in a KKK hood and robe. Calls for Northam's resignation have been coming from Democrats and Republicans. Congressional Black Caucus Chair Karen Bass.
He essentially hid this. He could have come clean. He could have asked for forgiveness years ago. He chose not to do this. He just got busted. That's all.
However, former independent Senator Joe Lieberman has a different view.
I think there's a rush to judgment that is unfair to him. One, he says he wasn't in that picture. Two, I think we ought to fairly ask him, did he know the picture was on his page of that yearbook? And then three, really, he ought to be judged in the context of his whole life.
A Paris prosecutor says a woman is in custody in the investigation into a deadly building fire that authorities suspect the blaze was a criminal act. At least 8 people were killed. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thanks. It's 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stashower.
Nathan, the Rangers blew a game against a team they should beat at the Garden against the LA Kings. Rangers had 3 different leads. The Kings tied the game with a minute left in regulation and then scored again 25 seconds into overtime, and LA won 4-3. The Blue Shirts have lost 3 of the last 4. The Milwaukee Bucks have the best record in the NBA. The Nets saw why. At Barclays, Giannis Antetokounmpo, as he always seems to do, filled up the stat sheet. 30 points, 15 rebounds, 9 assists, 3 block shots. The Bucks improved to a league best 39-13. They beat the Nets 113-94. Brooklyn's third straight loss. They could be getting Caris LeVert back soon. He went down with a serious injury early in the year. Bill Belichick coaching disciples have not come near to matching his success, but the Miami Dolphins hope that trend ends the day after Brian Flores, a Brooklyn native, coached the Pats defense to that tremendous performance in the Super Bowl. Flores officially introduced as the new coach in Miami, as Zach Taylor was in Cincinnati. He was Sean McVay's offensive assistant with the LA Rams. Yesterday, Super Bowl MVP Julian Edelman made the rounds, including the trip to Disney World. He has a close relationship, some would say like big brother, little brother, with Tom Brady.
He just said he was proud of me, you know, and that was big. You know, he's been a, you know, an unbelievable guy to learn from, you know, as a football player, as a professional, as a family man. The guy's all in, and you know, that trickles down when you see leaders of your team do that.
This morning in Boston, yet another duck boat parade honoring yet another championship team in Boston. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
Yes, indeed, John. And you know, there's a sign demand for Super Bowl ads maybe peaking, along with the size of the audience. Researcher Kantar Media estimates CBS took in $382 million for ads on Sunday, about $28 million less than NBC did. Meanwhile, ratings show the viewing audience was slightly over 98 million, the lowest since 2008. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by the Breakers Palm Beach. This winter paradise is just a short flight away, so get out of the cold and escape to the Breakers Palm Beach. Visit thebreakers.com or call 1-800-BREAKERS today.
Global News, 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks are rising this morning as strong results from oil giant BP gave some direction to otherwise listless markets during a week in which much of Asia is on holiday. U.S. futures are also higher. A number of Asian markets are closed today. They include China, Hong Kong, Indonesia, Korea, Malaysia, Philippines, Singapore, Taiwan, and Pakistan. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 5 points this morning. Dow futures up 69. NASDAQ futures up 14. The DAX in Germany is up 1.1%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 2.73%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.53%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.1% or 60 cents to $55.16 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.25% or $3.60 to $13.1570 an ounce. The euro $1.1420 and the yen 110.02. And more than 24 companies in the S&P 500 are scheduled to report earnings today. They include Walt Disney. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. In front of both chambers of Congress, President Trump will deliver his State of the Union address. It's the first before the newly Democratic-run House, with Speaker Nancy Pelosi sitting directly behind him. After the longest government shutdown in U.S. history, the White House says President Trump will strike a conciliatory tone and call for unity in an attempt to mend the partisan divide. You can hear the president's speech live on Bloomberg Radio starting at 8:30 p.m. Wall Street time. Federal prosecutors in New York have issued a subpoena seeking documents from President Trump's inaugural committee. A spokeswoman says the committee intends to cooperate with the inquiry. In the NBA, the Nets lost. The Wizards won. In the NHL, the Rangers lost in overtime to the Kings, 4-3. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 5:19 is the time on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. We're joined this morning by Emily Rowland, Head of Investment Research at JH Investments. Thanks for being with us this morning, Emily, as we continue to watch quite the rally this morning on European equities, up about 1% or more across the board. Do you see that momentum carrying over into U.S. stocks this morning?
Yeah, we're definitely seeing some momentum overseas, which has largely been driven by some positive results on the earnings front. So we're seeing an environment in which the fundamentals are actually having a meaningful impact here, which to us we think is pretty important. The other side of the story, though, is the continued negative headlines in terms of economic data. I mean, overnight we got PMI data for the Eurozone that indicates that growth continues to slow on the services side. We've known that on the manufacturing side, both for the Eurozone broadly and particularly in the UK. So it seems like every morning you wake up and there's another sort of negative headline in terms of the economic data deteriorating overseas. But for right now, the corporate side is really providing a lift to overseas equities.
Yeah,
on the U.S. side, we're focused on earnings as well.
Certainly. So how do you explain that disconnect then between the earnings picture that we're seeing on the corporate side and the eco data?
Well, it's, you know, it's earnings season and investors are, you know, focused on the corporate data, focused on the bottom up right now. You know, certainly their view can shift, or what investors are looking at may shift again once we wrap up here. But for now, this should be a pretty meaningful tailwind.
Okay. So, I mean, how do you interpret the earnings that we've seen thus far? I mean, obviously, we're getting a lift this morning from BP, but the tech sector in particular has been kind of rough.
It's actually been holding up okay for us overseas. And one of the things that we're most focused on is, we know, you know, markets are forward looking right now. They're probably pricing in what's going to happen later in 2019. And as we look at next 12 month earnings estimates for the EFA and even for the emerging markets index, we actually see it sort of continuing to move sideways. So for us, that's reason enough to stay invested in overseas equities.
Despite the prospects for slowing growth around the world.
Well, sure. Economic growth is shifting down a gear. There's no doubt about it overseas. But, you know, a lot of that has been priced in at this point. Valuations are extraordinarily cheap at this point in the cycle. And we think as long as corporate earnings continue to hold up, you know, we want to be invested there. If we do start to see next 12-month earnings estimates roll over, that would be a sign to us to get more defensive and to potentially downgrade our view, but we're not there yet.
Okay, so which sectors are looking most attractive to you at this point?
Yeah, so when we look in the U.S., and this really holds true overseas as well, you know, we're very much focused on wanting to own quality, right? So that means a few different things. First and foremost, it means owning companies that have high return on equity. So parts of the market like technology, consumer staples. We also want to own areas where we're seeing good earnings revisions, right? So we're watching an environment which, you know, earnings revisions, particularly in the U.S., are actually starting to decelerate, right? So we want to find areas where they're not doing that. So healthcare and utilities are two parts of the market where we're actually seeing decent earnings revisions. So we want to be there. And then finally, we want to get a little bit more defensive. We want to lower the overall beta of our portfolio. So we want to tiptoe into some more defensive sectors like utilities and consumer staples. We really want to implement a barbell approach to sector allocations for 2019, as we are seeing the macro backdrop shift quite meaningfully.
And as you continue to see those earnings revised, do you see the Fed revising its rate outlook as we head through 2019?
Well, we've certainly already seen that, and I think that's really been the biggest driver of the extraordinary returns we've seen so far to start the year out. you know, undoubtedly dovish comments from the Fed. They continue to use the language around flexibility, which should certainly be key as we head through the year. But the Fed is still an unknown here. And for us, we need to wait until the fog clears in terms of Fed policy, in terms of trade, in order to, you know, get more aggressive in terms of owning risk assets. For now, we want to be neutral across the board, equities, fixed income, and we want to club down and hit it down the fairway for 2019.
Emily Rowland, head of investment research, JH Investments. Always good to have your insights on Bloomberg Daybreak. Thanks so much for being here and taking a quick look at the markets ahead of the open. They are pointed higher with S&P futures up 3 points, Dow futures ahead by 61, NASDAQ futures up 10 points. The surge in European equities continues with the German DAX up 1%, the London FTSE up 1.1%, the CAC in Paris up nearly 0.9%. And you are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Daybreak's brought to you by Land Rover. Take every journey to the next level during the Own the Adventure sales event now through April 1st. Visit your local tri-state area Land Rover retailer for special lease and finance offers. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991. To Boston. Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco. Bloomberg 960. To the country. Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It is 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. We are seeing stocks higher around the world this morning. The Stocks Europe 600 index is rising for a sixth straight day, led by BP's better-than-expected earnings report. The oil company is up 4% in early trading.
While shares of Alphabet are down almost 3% after profit margins slid in the fourth quarter, Emily Chang reports from the Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
Alphabet's CapEx spending jumped 80% as the company spent big on expanding its cloud and YouTube businesses. CFO Ruth Porat told Bloomberg after the earnings report that the company is very focused on investing for the long term. In the meantime, Alphabet will continue to rely on its ad business to support sales and profit growth. And while it remains a leader in that space with Facebook, it is increasingly seeing Amazon muscle in for a slice of the lucrative digital ad market. In San Francisco, I'm Emily Chang, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Emily. Disney and Viacom lead more than two dozen companies in the S&P 500 reporting earnings today.
Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell met President Trump at the White House for dinner last night. The two discussed recent economic developments and the outlook, but the central bank says Powell did not share his expectations for monetary policy.
Bloomberg News has learned President Trump plans to nominate senior Treasury official David Malpass to lead the World Bank. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live. Good morning, John.
Yeah, Nathan, 62-year-old Malpass has echoed the president's doubts about international cooperation, and he's portrayed the World Bank as too big and too inefficient. The nomination risks provoking opposition from countries that have defended the existing global order. Malpass struggled at Treasury to retain personnel in his unit, with about 20 career staff members quitting in less than a year. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. And in Europe, growth in the UK's dominant services sector dipped to two and a half year low in January, bringing the economy to a near halt as firms grow increasingly anxious about Brexit. Now let's get you up to date on how stocks are faring. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are higher, up about 4 points now. Dow futures up 65. NASDAQ futures up 13. The DAX in Germany is up 1.1%. So is the FTSE 100, and the CAC in Paris is up 0.9%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 2.73%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.53%. NYMEX crude oil up 1% or 55 cents to $55.11 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.1% on $1.60 to $13.1770 an ounce. The euro at $1.1419 and the yen at 109.96. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, thank you, Karen. It's 5:33 on Wall Street. Let's find out what is going on around the world from Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Federal prosecutors in New York have issued a subpoena for documents from Donald Trump's inaugural committee. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
This furthers a federal inquiry into a fund that has faced mounting scrutiny on how it raised and spent its money. Neither side has commented on what was requested, although the committee said its intention is to fully cooperate. Although media reports now say it has asked for all documents relating to the committee's vendors and possible benefits to donors. If there were exchanges of political favors, it would be a potential violation of federal corruption laws. Also requested documents relating to donations made by or on behalf of foreign nationals. Those, too, are prohibited by federal law. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
President Trump faces a considerably different Congress tonight for his State of the Union address now that Democrats are in control of the House. President Trump is expected to call for optimism and unity in his address. Senior Trump advisor Kellyanne Conway.
This president is going to call for an end to the politics of resistance, retribution, and call for more comity, C-O-M-I-T-Y.
The Democratic response will come from a rising star in the party, Georgia's Stacey Abrams. Bloomberg will carry coverage of tonight's State of the Union speech starting at 8:30 p.m. Wall Street time. Donald Trump ally and former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie says he does not expect any intra-party challenge to the president in 2020 because Republican voters remain solidly behind him. On Bloomberg TV, Christie says President Trump remains popular with about 80% of the GOP base, and that should be enough to cut off any serious attempt to run against him in the Republican primaries.
You know, if those numbers change, then there will obviously be people who will look at it, because there are always ambitious people who want to run for president of the United States and think they could do a good job. But I don't see anyone doing that now. I don't see the landing strip for them to be successful in a primary against an incumbent president. So I firmly believe that President Trump will be renominated and be the Republican candidate in 2020.
New York collected $2.3 billion less income tax revenue than predicted for December and January. Governor Andrew Cuomo blamed it on wealthy residents leaving for second homes in Florida and other states that receive more favorable treatment in the tax law enacted by President Trump and the Republican Congress. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thanks. Coming up on 5:36 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, nobody would have guessed that 3 months into the NBA season, the team with the best record would be the Milwaukee Bucks. They haven't won a playoff series since 2001, but led by the Greek freak, Giannis Antetokounmpo, the Bucks are 39-13. Last night at Barclays, they outscored the Nets 36-22 in the third quarter. They held Brooklyn to 5 of 42 on three-point shots. The Bucks won 113-94. Giannis with 30 points, 15 rebounds, 9 assists. Nets have lost 3 in a row. The Rangers have lost 3 of 4 at the Garden. They led the Kings 3 different times, twice in the third period. L.A. tied the game with a minute left in regulation. And then in overtime,
Zibanejad enters, shoots off the post! Kings carry it up ice. Toffoli on a break. He slows up, waits for Kempe. Toffoli shoots, scores! Rangers hit the iron on one end, and the Kings win it on the other.
Fox Sports West, the call, the game-winning goal by Tyler Toffoli just 25 seconds into sudden death. When the Patriots won their first Super Bowl in 2001, it was the first championship won by a Boston team in 15 years, but over the last 17 years, 12 championships, 12 different duck boat parades. They had one for the Red Sox just 3 months ago after they beat L.A. in the World Series, and now everyone will be back today to celebrate the Patriots beating L.A. in the Super Bowl, their sixth title. They're losing a top assistant with the Super Bowl over. The Miami Dolphins able to make official the hiring of Brian Flores as their new head coach. The Bengals did likewise with Rams assistant Zach Taylor. Super Bowl ratings lowest in 11 years. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. It's 5:37 on Wall Street. The latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now. The cover is on the takedown that landed former Nissan chairman Carlos Ghosn in jail. Also in this week's issue, the fresh nuclear arms race between the U.S. and Russia. Peter Coy wrote the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
Russia has developed a cruise missile that seems to be within that range of 5,500 kilometers. The Russians deny. They say that it doesn't actually have that range. The Americans and NATO seem to think that Russians are lying.
You can read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now and listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time right here on Bloomberg Radio. It's 5:38 on Wall Street, time for the Tri-State Business Report. Let's check in with Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Good morning, Ed.
Hi, Nathan. A new study shows New York City is the best place on earth for technology. In the ranking by real estate brokerage Savills, San Francisco came in second place and London was third. New York pulled ahead thanks to its volume of venture capital cash, a pool of talent, and the opportunities that exist for them. The New York State Senate has chosen an opponent of Amazon's deal to set up a new corporate campus in New York City as one of three members of a board with veto power over the transaction. Senator Michael Gennaris, a Democrat, represents Long Island City, Queens, where the Amazon offices are going to be built. FanDuel reports losses of $5 million in the Super Bowl. That was the first big test of New Jersey's sports betting businesses. More than 75% of the money was bet on the Patriots. A lot of customers took advantage of an introductory deal that gave them 53-1 odds, but the payoff was in store credit. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Nathan?
Thanks, Ed. 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio's on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. BP joined its big oil peers by giving investors a positive surprise.
I'm Steve Podisk, and on KMOX in St. Louis, we are following quarterly results from battery giant Energizer Holdings.
I'm Andrew O'Day on WBZ in Boston. I'm reporting on the closure of Panera Bread's last Pay What You Want location.
I'm Marcus Carlson on DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on growth in Britain's dominant services sector grinding to a near halt.
I'm Joan Doniger telling WBBM listeners that a Chicago candy maker is stepping in to fill the void left by the disappearance of those Conversation Valentine's Day hearts.
I'm Ed Corey on KFBK in Sacramento. I'm reporting California and federal officials are still far apart when it comes to fuel economy and greenhouse gas emission rules for cars.
Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Morning pointing to gains on Wall Street ahead of the open. S&P futures up 3 points, Dow futures up 64, NASDAQ futures up 11. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Stevens Institute of Technology, the Quant School on the Hudson, with an online master's in financial analytics that teaches the latest data science techniques. Learn more at stevens.edu/fintech.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks are advancing as strong earnings from oil giant BP gave some direction to otherwise listless markets. U.S. stock index futures are drifting higher. The euro and pound are edging lower. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 4 points, Dow futures up 73, NASDAQ futures up about 13. The DAX in Germany is up 1.1%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 2.73%, yield on the 2-year 2.53%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.1% or 58 cents to $55.14 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.1% and $1.40 to $13.1790 an ounce. The euro, $1.1421, and the yen, 109.94. And more than two dozen companies in the S&P 500 are scheduled to report earnings today, including Walt Disney. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, it's a new set of legal issues confronting President Donald Trump. The president's inaugural committee is under scrutiny. The committee, which disclosed raising a record-setting $107 million, was subpoenaed by federal prosecutors in New York. Tonight, President Trump delivers his State of the Union address. The White House says the president will offer a theme of unity in his speech. The First Lady has invited a sixth grader from Wilmington, Delaware, Joshua Trump, who has been bullied in school due to his last name. You can hear tonight's speech on Bloomberg starting at 8:30 p.m. Wall Street time. In the NBA, the Nets lost, the Wizards won. In the NHL, the Rangers lost in overtime to the Kings 4-3. Global news 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, thank you, Michael. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, where it's nearly 5:49 on Wall Street. Let's get more ahead of President Trump's State of the Union address tonight, the second of his presidency. Wendy Schiller joins us now. She's a political science professor at Brown University. Nice to have you on. this morning, Wendy. And we just heard from Michael Barr that the White House is saying that the president is going to invoke a message of unity in tonight's speech. But obviously, this is the first State of the Union address that the president is going to be delivering before a divided joint session of Congress. How does that change the dynamic tonight?
Well, I mean, in some ways, you know, having Nancy Pelosi sitting behind him, you know, in, for lack of a better word, will keep the president a little bit more better, you know, better behaved, I think, in terms of his tone, in terms of the stridency of his language. And it's an interesting thing. His dynamic with Pelosi is fascinating to watch. He has some, you can tell he sort of wants her approval. He has respect for her. On the other hand, he's going to fight her tooth and nail to get what he thinks he needs to get reelected as president. So there's a, just a really fascinating dynamic. Just watching that is really interesting. And for women who voted in 2018 to send a message to the president about his attitude or his discussion of women, treatment of women, having Nancy Pelosi sitting in that chair again as speaker is one of those motivating forces that the Democrats are counting on for, you know, generally supporting them from now until 2020, but certainly going into 2020. And so there's, this is all about 2020. This isn't just about the wall, the state of emergency. This is about Trump trying to set a mild reset button for 2020. His numbers have not changed since inauguration. You know, any poll, he's between 37 and 42%. And inauguration day, after that, he was 42%. He's got to get those numbers up, about 5%, I think, to be viable to win again. And he's, you know, lost the governorship of Michigan and Wisconsin. So you're looking at an electoral map, I think, that is shrunken for President Trump. And he's got to figure some way not only keep his base, but get some of those suburban Republicans who defected in 2018 back in his camp. So I think that's, if I were, you know, the advisors, that's the kind of speech you want to give. It's really your kickoff to reelection.
So how does the president make that pivot? Because I think arguably you could make the case that that would be a pivot for President Trump in terms of the way he positions himself politically. In the past, he has, you know, made no secret of trying to bolster his base almost at the expense of everything else.
Well, you know, it's a fascinating thing, this base. You know, the base is about 34%, give or take, if he's lucky on a good day, massive turnout, right? You can't win the White House back with 34%. It's that other part that likes the tax cuts but has not liked a lot of the other things that he's done. And he's got to deliver something else. Democrats will vote for an infrastructure bill. Even if it's Trump supporting it, they'll vote for infrastructure, right? And there's a lot of economic difficulty still in the Midwest and the Rust Belt. And, you know, those senators and those House members have to vote for that from that area of the country. He could target what he wants to do and try to pick off members of the Democratic coalition, particularly those who just got reelected, who need to deliver for their constituencies. So he doesn't have to change his personality per se, but he has to decide what he's going to focus on. And if he's going to focus on things that he can peel off Democrats on, then he can, I think, broaden his base and win the same areas that he won before. So the question is, how loyal is that base? Now, the Democrats are, I mean, the Republicans are starting to talk about, you know, a possibility of an override if he really doesn't relent on the wall and he keeps the government shut down again or puts the government into a shutdown. You know, now there are hints from McConnell that he would let that come to the floor. Maybe they wouldn't get an override of a veto, but he would let it come to the floor. And a motion to disapprove the national, you know, state of emergency declaration, that he would allow to come to the floor. He doesn't have a choice on that. So in general, now you're hearing things from McConnell you didn't hear 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, and if he does follow through with that kind of move, wouldn't that almost undermine the kind of you know, positive unifying message that you're arguing the president should put forward if he has, you know, Republicans, you know, going against him on an issue that he's dug in so hard on for, you know, so many months now, the border wall?
Yeah, it becomes a, you know, a level of toxicity. You know, you don't want to get primary. You have 22 Republican held seats in 2020. That's a tremendous number of seats. I think you have 8 or maybe maximum 10, but I think it's 8 Democratic seats. It's a mirror of 2018 for the Republicans. And even though a lot of Trump states, you still have a couple of seats the Democrats could pick off. So you're looking at very serious dynamics in the Senate, and they don't want to go against their president. They're worried about a primary challenge. But if President Trump really becomes toxic in the sense of sort of overreaching on executive power, Nancy Pelosi will have no negotiating room to work with the guy. She just won't be able to. Her caucus won't let her. And then you've got all these people running for president, running around saying don't work with the president. So the pressures will build. considerably on Nancy Pelosi not to work with Trump at all. So there's a window right now to do something that will help both sides. And the first stop is don't shut the government down again. The second is Democrats give the guy $6 billion to do Homeland Security, to do border security, but no concrete wall. And if Trump takes it, I think he can move on and try to pivot. If he doesn't take it, that's when the trouble really begins.
You know, it's interesting that you positioned the State of the Union address as almost a kickoff of the 2020 reelection campaign for President Trump, because he's going to be addressing quite a few potential opponents on the Democratic side in this speech. How will Democrats try to use this moment tonight to do their own kickoff of the 2020 campaign?
Well, it's fascinating. I mean, I think that, you know, Nancy Pelosi will be literally directing the Democratic caucus in terms of a conductor. And what she's got to worry about is people sort of booing or hissing or doing the kinds of things that you just don't do at State of the Union that Republicans, few of them, started to do. But Boehner cut that off when he was Speaker. Question is, this is about Democratic unity as well. Can she even control her troops in the chamber? Can she control that reaction? Do the Democrats look as unified as they want everyone to think they are? And that affects 2020 considerably across the board. So the optics tonight and how well, quote unquote, behaved the president is, but also how it behaved the very, very liberal part of the Democratic caucus is, that is going to be something to watch too. And that's a bit of a warning sign for those people who want the Democrats to do well. If they can't get their act together to show unity in the State of the Union, then the question is, will they be able to show unity on the House floor?
And in terms of the issues that the president might try to touch on tonight to try to reach out a little bit more to that independent voter, what would you expect the president to focus on with that goal in mind?
Things like the opioid epidemic bill, you know, that he signed to fund opioid epidemic, you know, activities, research, treatment, those sorts of things. Criminal justice reform, which he signed, making sure that the tax cuts stay intact, which I think is a pretty logical sequence, given that the Democrats only have one chamber. Thinking about things like education, but also safety. He believes that mothers and suburban voters, especially women, care about safety. So if he can package that as safety and not as punitive as he's been in his language, I think he might be able to win some of that group back. So I think there are themes he can strike. I think he can, and he also figures he won. All the other people who are running for president on the Democratic side who've been announced already, they haven't won. He won. Nobody thought he would, but he did. And that gives you a little confidence.
And in our about a minute left here, in terms of the issue that delayed this speech tonight, border security, it sounds as though you're taking the idea that the president declares a national emergency tonight off the table. But in the hypothetical situation that he were to do that, what kind of impact would that have if he decided to declare a national emergency tonight in our last 30 seconds here?
I think a great number of Democratic people walk out of the chamber. If he does that tonight in the speech, which I don't expect, I think you'll see literally a Democratic Party walk out. I don't know if Pelosi will walk out, but I think she'll lose at least a third of her caucus and walk right out the door when he does it as a sign of protest.
We'll leave it there for now. Wendy Schiller, political science professor at Brown University. Thanks, as always, for bringing us your insights ahead of the State of the Union address. Our full coverage begins at 8:30 p.m. Wall Street time tonight. Check back in for that on Bloomberg Radio and television. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. And futures this morning are higher. S&P futures up 4 points this morning. Dow futures up 72 and NASDAQ futures up 13. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 2.73%. The yield on the 2 years at 2.53%. And NYMEX crude oil on the rise this morning, up 1.1% or 60 cents to $55.16 a barrel. The euro at $1.1417. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.